And if you're following along in the Bibles that's under your seats, it's on page 1000. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble, with a comfort in which we ourselves are comforted by God. Well, I'm a better song leader than speaker, so I'll try to get through this. I'd like to take this time, as we're all here together, to recognize Lorna and her family and all of the efforts that they put forth in this. It was not me that did all the planning and scheduling. It was not me that did all the arranging the food. It was her and her family, and I'm very proud of her efforts in that. This map is something I decided to put up there. Somebody suggested it last week, I don't remember who. But here we are, all the way over here is the Philippines.
Interruptions. At any rate, over here is the, well, here is the Philippines. And we're all the way over here. To put that in perspective, when you go to Nicaragua, that's just, okay. Buttons, huh? Go back if you will. When you go to Nicaragua, that's just right here, which looks like just kind of a puddle jump compared to going halfway around the world. Okay, now we can go to the next one. When we last summer decided we were going to go to the Philippines, we had no idea that any of this was going to happen. We arrived in the Philippines on the 11th of October, and almost immediately after we got there, they had an earthquake about 100 miles away from us, 7.2 earthquake, which destroyed a lot of homes and stuff in Bohol. That was on the 15th of October. Seemed like just a few days later, we had the typhoon, and that was the biggest typhoon ever recorded hitting the Philippines. So we kind of were thinking to ourselves, what are we doing here? and actually thought about going home instead of staying. And a few moments after that, some friends of ours that run a camp called Arapal asked us to go to Arapal with them. So we went to Arapal on the 19th, and a few days later we got an email from Scott, I think was the first email, you know, that said that the elders were interested in supporting some relief efforts and wanted to know if I could put them in contact with someone over in the Philippines to oversee it. And at first I thought, well, okay, I can put them in contact with someone, but never looking in the mirror to see that someone was going to be me. So we thought about it and talked it over a little bit and said, well, I think this is something we can do. You know, so we received the church funds on the 4th of December, and as you see, a few days later, we were off to Bohol, trying to figure out where to get rice, where to get the other supplies that we were going to distribute. Is not as easy as it is here. You just don't go to the corner grocery store. You have to plan ahead, and their transportation is not like you get in a car and go around the corner or 100 miles away. If you're going to go 100 or 200 miles, it's going to involve a tricycle probably to get to the boat, to get to the tricycle on the other end, to get to a footpath to walk to where you're going to go. So everything has to be planned, and that's where Lorna and her family, you know, stepped up and took an awful lot of the effort. We went to Bohol on the 9th, Santander on the 17th, and a Lacey trip on the 8th of January. I'm going to go through a couple of slides here. This is the first place we were at, this was before we even knew we were going to do anything with the congregation here. As you can see, those blue tarps are trying to replace pieces of what was blown away. And you won't find any buildings here that didn't have something blown away, and they were living in tents. And this particular camp was 4 months with no electricity. So it took them that long. It's not like we have, where we think it's, you know, a hardship to be 2 or 3 days without electricity and running water. This was 4 months. This was the, you know, during our trip, and in the morning there they had a relief effort for the member, you know, the church members, and then in the afternoon it was for everybody else. And as you can see, it looked like half of the neighborhood showed up, but this is just a small portion of them. They took their goods, and each one of them thanked us and took a picture. And as you can see, there's almost an unending supply. There's me and Lorna and some more people getting stuff. And then we went to Bohol. And, well, we gave out rice. We gave out sleeping mats, mosquito nets, sometimes coffee, sometimes noodles, whatever it seemed, you know, we could get a good deal on that would make a good meal for a few days for a family. We gave out 3 kilos of rice, which is about between 6 3/4 pounds and 7 pounds, something like that. That was enough for most families to go a week or so, you know, with the meals. And, you know, sometimes it was a matter of what could we get in that location, because you can't really carry 300 kilos of rice with you. You know, that's like 600 pounds. And this was usually the size of our crew. On the left side here is her brother and her sister, and then one of her nephews, and of course us. And that was the truck that carried everything. We had a little bit of a fear of being in one place for too long, because we'd seen looting and, you know, crowds getting out of control. So what we did is we stayed on the truck with the transportation and distributed from the truck, so if something came up, we could immediately move and be out of trouble. This is a picture of the stuff that was in the truck and us getting ready to distribute it. That looked like the first person that was in line. Later there's more. And our handwritten, you know, Church of Christ, that, you know, so they would know where it's coming from and who was distributing it. As you can see in the back, there's some plastic tarps and, you know, trying to pack it all together and redistribute it was the task. We would spend probably about half a day to a day packaging it up and distributed it probably about an hour. There were so many people that, you know, within an hour it was completely gone. Just some pictures of different people, men, women, children, all in need of our help. This was the trip to Santander, and this is where we were taking the 50 kilo bags of rice and putting them in plastic bags so that they could be distributed the next day. Everybody pitching in. The box there was for kind of a noodle ramen arrangement where you just add water and heat it up and you have a package of noodles. And what we would do is take the empty bags of rice and we put all of the stuff in there just to carry it around so that we didn't have, you know, 150 individual bags. We had just a few. In this one we were distributing for 100 people. On the previous one we did about 80. As you can see, it's pretty much the same each place, and this is where we were going from one location to another. Everybody was very appreciative of what they got. Nobody complained. Even in the poverty that's all around, the Filipinos are basically very happy people, content with what they have and happy and appreciative of anything extra that they can get. In this location, that truck was actually furnished to us by the mayor. We didn't have to pay for that at all. You know, one of her relatives knew the mayor, so he said, oh, if you're distributing food in our area, I'll help out with that. This was our last trip here to Leyte, which was our biggest trip. Leyte was probably, of the places we went, the most hard hit. It was closest to the storm, and we distributed to 200 people in this one. Not people, 200 families. This is where we sat in the back of the jeepney. That's their main form of transportation, is leftover jeeps from World War II and customized jeeps that are now out there. So you'll see people, you know, this jeepney, when it's in public use, might have 15 people inside of it, you know, that are all going to a common place that they just kind of grab on the outside, sometimes on top. You know, you cannot imagine how many people get on public transportation. My record, by the way, is I saw 6 people on a 50cc motorcycle. You know, I haven't seen any more than that, but I keep looking. 6 people, you know, kids and adults on one motorcycle. And that's not a big Harley or something. It was a 50cc motorcycle. I don't know how it moved them, but it does. This is them, you know, being appreciative. Lorna, of course, in the end, handing stuff out as fast as we could hand it to her. We're all back in the other part of the jeepney trying to arrange, you know, that there's a bag of rice and a bag of other stuff that we were handing out. And as you can see, they're all in line there. But this is the line that was basically left when we were done. I wanted to go to this slide here. You remember this place? This is where some of the best work is being done right now. The person that was here, Salvador Carriega, was here one time and he preached to us about his goat ministry. And when the storm first hit, he sent out emails that depicted that he thought everything was lost and that it was all over. Well, in this location, there is now a 500 individual congregation. They've had 500 baptisms since the typhoon hit. 9 of them were this morning, which was about 12 hours ago because they're opposite time from us. So as late as 12 hours ago, they had 9 baptisms, and they have a vacation Bible school starting on Monday, which will be another 12 hours from now. So the effort is unbelievable. So that's all I had to say.
The Apostle Paul penned 2 Corinthians around 57 AD. He wrote that letter somewhere in the region of Macedonia. Most Bible scholars think it was Thessalonica. It was written during his third missionary journey. The events that led up to Paul writing that letter, perhaps you remember there in 1 Corinthians in chapter 7 and verse 1. Paul was answering some questions that the brethren had for him. He was responding to matters regarding morality, holiness, godliness. What does God want from us? What doesn't God want to see from us? And of course, Paul was there. You remember during his second missionary journey there in Acts chapter 18 and verses 1 through 17. And in this letter that he's writing to them, he finishes up his second missionary journey, makes a third missionary journey. And Paul realized that this letter that he wrote to them did not go over well. As a matter of fact, when you go back and you read 2 Corinthians in chapter 1 and verses 23 and chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul appears to make an urgent visit to Corinth. Things are not going well in Corinth. They're fighting with one another. They're fussing with one another. They can't even get the Lord's Supper right over there. Paul makes an urgent visit. He comes back. And instead of going again because his visit wasn't well received, he sends a letter to them, a severe letter, by Titus. Titus in 2 Corinthians in chapter 2 and verses 3 and 4 delivers what seems to be a very severe letter. We don't know where that letter is. It's never been found, but it probably went something like this. Get your act together. Don't make me come there again. Paul would leave Ephesus, and again, he would head northwest towards Macedonia. And Paul was filled, you see it. When you read 2 Corinthians, Paul was filled with angst. Paul was filled with much concern and grief. He was troubled. I know I was pretty strong. I was pretty stern. Was I too hard on them? How are they going to respond? Are they going to get it together? God, there's a lot of things going on over there at Corinth, and it troubles my heart so. Paul was bothered by many things. Not only that, Paul was affected by tribulation, his own tribulation that he was going through. Not just the anxiety of wondering how those brethren are doing, how they're responding to this severe letter that he wrote, but he's got his own problems he's fighting, his own battles. In 2 Corinthians, in chapter 7, in verses 5 through 7, Paul writes about Titus finally catching up to Paul. You got to see this. In 2 Corinthians, in chapter 7, in verses 5 through 7, Paul says this, "For indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts, inside were fears. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus." Do you understand what he's saying? Titus, you were just what I needed right when I needed it. That's what he's saying. Stephen, Lauren, I got to be honest with you. I'm embarrassed to admit this, but I'm going to say it. When you went to the Philippines, and I noticed a few days after that what had happened and what was developing over there in the Philippines, my knee-jerk reaction was, get out of Dodge. Get back home. Brother, you admitted that. You didn't have to. I'm trying to make you look real good here, so just be quiet and let me do my part now. But somewhere, some way, I'm sure within their hearts and their minds, they had to come to this understanding. Spiritual people don't think this way. Servants, at the end of the day, don't reason this way. You know what spiritual people do? Do you know what servants do when service needs done? They serve. They serve. You were just what they needed when they needed it. You were the Titus. You were the Titus. And it just does my heart so much good to see how effectively God used you to minister to them. There's a word that we throw around, and sometimes we get scared when we say it, but I'm not afraid to say it. God's providence, I think, was involved in that. It wasn't a mistake that you were there when you were there. God used you in a mighty way. And I'm grateful for that, and I'm thankful for that. And man, it just gives me chilly bumpers, goose pimples, when I see, when God's people do what God's people are supposed to do, how God provides the increase. Spiritually, the fruit, the baptism. 9 more this morning, sometime. 5 o'clock somewhere, that's what the song says, right? So, you know, let's just do what God has called us to do. Listen, my challenge to you this morning is this. A lot of times when we pray, we say, oh God, just comfort them. Help them, God. And I wonder a lot of times, church, if God is looking right back at us and He says, have at it. Have at it. Huh? Yeah. There's a book. It was an evangelistic book. I know that was one of the first books I was given as a student at High Valley College with regards to evangelism. Go ye means go me. Go ye means go me. So my challenge to you this morning is, you know, when we think about those who are hurting and those who need help, and when we pray about God helping someone, my challenge to you is, see how God can use you to be involved in being His hands, His eyes, His ears, to be the servant that you need to be. I want to encourage you this morning to give your life to Jesus Christ, to become that servant that God wants you to be, to save you from your sins. You know, God gave us the greatest gift, and it just touched my heart to see all the things that these folks, how they were being helped. But you know what God has given to us with regards to His Son, Jesus Christ, shedding His blood, dying on a cross for our sins, so we have the everlasting hope of everlasting life. That's the ultimate price, and that's the ultimate gift. So I want to encourage you this morning, if you've not given your life to Christ, to do that. Come forward this morning. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of those sins. Come up out of that watery grave and let God use you in a mighty way to do great things for Him and because of Him in His blessed Son's name. Maybe you've done that. Maybe you've strayed away from the faith. You've walked away from a right relationship with God and you want to return. Our God is a God of reconciliation, church. God always wants us to have right relationships with Him and one another, always. If you feel you need to respond to an invitation, please come forward together. As together we stand and we sing.